This is about a place where anything can randomly happen. Today, many ships that want to get from the Atlantic to the Pacific use the Panama Canal. It's quick and safe. However, before it opened in 1914, ships had to chart their routes through the Drake Passage, and hundreds of vessels went through the most dangerous sea route in the world. The width of the passage is about 500 miles, the length roughly 620 miles, and the depth, just incredible, on average 11,150 feet. As of now, 800 ships have sunk in the Drake Passage. That's just the ones we know about. Around 20,000 people have died, and they keep dying to this day. In 2022, a rogue wave crashed into a cruise ship traveling from Antarctica to Argentina. This frightening event killed one person and injured four others. A massive wall of water slammed into the ship, throwing passengers around and shattering several outer windows. Some rooms were flooded, while others had their walls knocked down. And rogue waves aren't the only thing that can kill you in the Drake Passage. A bit of coffee, and we'll continue. Just an unobtrusive reminder to hit the like button if you happen to forget about that. The average ship takes about 48 hours to get from one end of the Drake Passage to the other. However, sailors who've managed to get through the passage say they remember those 48 hours for the rest of their lives. Some of them say they never felt anything like it anywhere else. I felt like a wet, dirty sock in the washing machine on a 36-hour spin cycle. I've never been one to fall ill to motion sickness, but this journey home would be a true test of that. That's the quote of one of the passengers on board. People on cruises say you can't even eat without constantly holding onto your plate and glass. The strong waves make the dishes slide around the table, and they use special sticky mats, but they don't always work. To eat, you need something like eight hands, not to mention you also need to hold onto the chair and table because they slide too. Naturally, due to the strong rocking, people often feel ill. So on the ship, there are definitely barf bags attached somewhere in the common areas. But actually, everything on the tables, including the laptops, has to be secured. And not just on the tables alone. Things should be tied down, and loose items should be stored in drawers. Otherwise, during the next wave, they might very well fly into your head. You can only move around the ship by grabbing onto railings or poles for support. And not because it's a rule. Simply put, otherwise, you won't be able to move. Going up and down the stairs or even just opening and closing doors requires a lot of effort to avoid getting hurt. I even found stories of people who had to tie themselves to their beds to sleep while crossing the passage. The thing is, the ship interacts with the waves differently, and as a result, there's periodic vertical acceleration. Because of this, each person's weight drops to almost zero, and then, a few seconds later, their weight almost doubles. Sleeping under such conditions is simply impossible. The acceleration either makes a person almost float above the bed or suddenly presses them down into it. The only thing that helps is tying yourself down. So what's this place? And why is the sea here so wild? The Drake Passage stretches between Cape Horn at the southern tip of South America and Livingston Island in the South Shetland Islands. In simple terms, it's the gap between Antarctica and South America. There are two other passages around the southern tip of South America, the Strait of Magellan and the Beagle Channel, but they wind around, often narrowing and leaving little room for maneuvering. Unpredictable winds and tidal currents make these straits almost impossible to navigate. So most sailing ships prefer the Drake Passage, which offers open water for hundreds of miles. The person the passage was named after was the British explorer and privateer, or in other words, a pirate serving the crown, Francis Drake. He wasn't the first sailor to go through the passage. He actually navigated his ships through the Strait of Magellan into the Pacific Ocean, where a storm pushed him south. One ship was wrecked by the storm, one had to head back to England, but the third one made it into the Drake Passage. That's how the English found out there was open water south of South America. This happened in 1578. By the way, the incredibly harsh waters of the passage are one of the reasons why people didn't set foot on the land of Antarctica until the 19th century. It was just very hard to get there. First, it's the wind. Whether you hit a storm while crossing the Drake Passage, it's a bit of a gamble because there's no storm season there. They can happen at any time of the year. It's all because of the location. The Drake Passage is narrow and is the point where the three largest oceans in the world, the Pacific, the Atlantic, and the Southern, meet. Naturally, cyclones here are just insane. Cold water from Antarctica meets relatively warm ocean water, and suddenly a cyclone appears. The region, stretching over an area of about 620 miles, constantly generates very dangerous storms. But in addition to the temperature difference in the water, the absence of land also plays a part. The Southern Ocean, which surrounds the icy continent of Antarctica, has no land masses, so the winds can easily wrap around the planet. And they do. On this map, it's easy to see how this spot stands out against the rest of the planet. The light blue color of the water means especially strong winds, and there's no other windy zone like that anywhere else. You might argue that it's pretty windy in the North Atlantic too, and you'd be right, but in the Northern Hemisphere, similar winds are completely separated by vast land masses, so they can't really pick up speed. In the Drake Passage, the wind blows at speeds of 30 to 45 miles per hour. And it's a good thing if the ship needs to go with the wind, but what if it doesn't? The wind brings waves with it. Some of the biggest waves in the Drake Passage reach heights of 39 feet. Some sources even talk about waves as high as 66 feet or more. These waves hit any ship in the strait one after another. And since Antarctica is so close, any sailor will not only get wet, but also be damn cold. Experienced sailors say that the Drake Passage has only two temperaments, the Drake Shake and the Drake Lake. The second happens rarely, while the first is almost constant. And the portholes on the ship quickly start looking like washing machine doors due to the froth from the high waves. Another danger of this place is the constant, endless rocking. Usually, before entering the passage, the captain asks everyone on board to take seasickness pills. Even Charles Darwin, who sailed around the world and was an experienced traveler, felt extreme seasickness while rounding Cape Horn. Never to mention the less hardened people. And that's not including rogue waves. I already mentioned them at the beginning of the video. It was a rogue wave that killed a person recently in the Drake Passage. Rogue waves are waves that are at least twice as high as the surrounding sea. The exact mechanisms of their formation are still unknown, but researchers believe that the bizarre ridges form when smaller waves merge into larger ones. This can happen either due to strong surface winds or due to changes in currents. Does this happen in the Drake Passage? Oh, absolutely. Some of the strongest ocean currents in the world pass right through it. Experts call the strait a melting pot, where extreme ocean currents carry away carbon, including that which is deposited by plankton. All this carbon sinks down below and stays there for centuries. But plankton with its carbon isn't that important. What's important is that the Drake Passage is the narrowest gap for the most powerful current on Earth, the Antarctic Circumpolar Current. This current circles around all of Antarctica in a continuous flow, forming something like a moat around a fortress. This moat means more than 4.6 billion cubic feet of water per second being carried by the current through the Drake Passage. To give you an idea of the volume, it's more than 100 times the collective discharge of all the rivers on the planet. The Antarctic Circumpolar Current stretches over 12,400 miles, so it's considered the largest in the world. Since the current doesn't meet any resistance from the land, it allows the water flows to break out and create enormous force, rocking even the biggest ships. Wind, waves, currents. In short, it's clear why the Drake Passage is considered deadly. What amazes me more is that people were crossing it as early as the 16th century, when ships were much less durable than they are now. And then I remembered that in December 2019, a team of elite athletes successfully crossed the Drake Passage in a boat completely powered by human effort. You heard that right. They were rowing. Not along the passage from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean, but across it, from South America to Antarctica. The rowing team worked in shifts. Three rowers were at the oars for 90 minutes, then they swapped, and so on, for 24 hours a day. They covered over 620 miles in 12 days on a specially designed boat. Now imagine, icy ocean all around, huge waves, wind, sleep deprivation, terrible rocking, constant nausea. And you know what helped these insanely brave people? They decided that the most important thing was to keep on rowing. By the way, there's even a ghost ship in the Drake Passage. According to the legend, the schooner Jenny set off from White Island in 1822 and then froze in the Drake Passage in 1823. The ship was supposedly spotted again in 1840. It was reportedly discovered by the whaling ship Hope. Some sources say that the crew of the Hope found the passengers frozen in place. Antarctic cold ensured the bodies were perfectly preserved. However, there's no serious evidence for this story. A legend is a legend. What about real life? In real life, ships regularly pass through the Drake Passage despite the creation of the Panama Canal. Yes, it's faster, much safer, and cheaper. Less fuel consumption and operating costs for shipping companies. However, only 37% of global ocean shipping can pass through the Panama Canal. The rest of the mega ships simply can't squeeze through it and therefore have to sail around Cape Horn and face the Drake Passage. Face and come out of that encounter unscathed. Back in the days of sailing ships, old navigation equipment, and primitive weather forecasting, the Drake Passage was definitely a dangerous stretch of water. Even today, it remains hazardous for a small ship or schooner. However, for large modern ships like expedition vessels or cruise liners that carry passengers, the strait's no longer, well, let's just say it's not a life or death challenge. Traveling through the Drake Passage is still incredibly memorable and can be incredibly physically challenging, but at least the ships are protected from the waves and wind. Plus, they're equipped with advanced stabilizing mechanisms, and sailors use modern technology for navigation and movement. It's not at all the same as fighting waves and currents on some kind of clipper. Yes, the risk of dying is still there. But now it's just rare, tragic accidents. The last confirmed shipwreck in the Drake Passage happened in 1819. Back then, the Spanish vessel San Telmo sank while transporting reinforcements to Peru during the War for Independence, and all 644 people tragically died at sea. But that was a ship of the line, wooden hull, sails, a very fragile thing compared to modern ships. Unexpected danger. In December 2019, the Chilean Air Force found debris, presumably of a cargo plane that crashed over a remote area of sea between South America and Antarctica. That is, right over the Drake Passage. The aim of the flight was to ensure supplies to the base in the Chilean Antarctic Territory, as well as to deliver personnel there. The plane had 38 people on it, 21 passengers and 17 crew members. They all died. The cause of the crash is still unknown. Ice Mermaid. Barbara Hernandez is a swimmer from Chile, known as the Ice Mermaid, because she not only practices winter swimming, but also enjoys it. Barbara also crossed the so-called Seven Oceans. She swam solo across seven different channels and straits around the world. And on June 14, 2022, she finally received her award from the Guinness World Records for the fastest mile swim in the Drake Passage, in just 15 minutes and 3 seconds. Yes, she really swam one nautical mile through the Drake Passage, not by boat, just like that. By the way, it's this achievement that Barbara's most proud of. The Drake Passage keeps watch over the planet. Remember how I talked about carbon sinking to the bottom because of the current in the Drake Passage and all that? That's actually a huge plus for the climate because the carbon comes from the atmosphere, but the Drake Passage has another not-so-obvious role for the planet. It keeps Antarctica cold. As strange as it may sound, without a land bridge to South America, it's much harder for warm air to reach the southernmost points of the planet. No, seriously, who would have thought that air needs land to travel? But the Drake Passage is a really cold place with its icy winds, and this cooling power helps protect the planet. If the Drake Passage didn't exist, Antarctica would be a lot warmer, and 11.5 million square miles of ice would melt. Then it would be the plot of a disaster movie. The level of the world ocean would rise by more than 160 feet. Coastal cities would be flooded. People would be running around in a panic. Something would be burning, exploding. Well, thanks to the Drake Passage, that hasn't happened yet. Well, as usual, you owe me a like. See you later.